microphones and make a podcast. Two microphones and you make a podcast.
Hi, this is Joyce.
And this is Mary Beth.
Welcome to the Modern Yoga Podcast. End of season four edition.
Allegedly. That's what we've been told by our engineer.
Yeah. Sorry it took so long to, get the last one out. I don't know how long it's going to take to get this one out.
We'll have to try and be clearer with our seasons, I guess. We had joy, we had fun, we had seasons in the sun. Do you remember that song?
Yes.
Terry Jacks. But the cop had a gun and he shot us in the bun.
I don't remember all the lyrics.
Well, those weren't the lyrics. Those were the ones that the girls on the 130 made up.
Oh.
Why did I think those were the lyrics? Shooting him in the bun.
I mean, it was the 70s.
Don't. Goodbye, Michelle. It's hard to die. This is a tough way to start. The whole song was like so ridiculously sad. It was like, why does this song exist? Same with the old song, Lonely Boy, Oh, What a Lonely Boy. I was like, why? What is this about? He's just a little wussy that gets pissed off because they had another baby and then he ran and ruined his life.
What song are you talking about?
Oh, What a Lonely Boy.
Would I recognize that if I heard it?
With my little bit of a cold, I'm just not sure I should sing for you.
Oh, what a lonely boy. Oh, what a lonely boy.
I'm going to have to use the
He was born on a summer day in 1960-something. I don't remember.
So basically the story, the lyrics are this boy was his parents' special little boy. Maybe there's some metaphor that I'm missing. And then they had another baby. He had a little sister. And he was like, wait, I'm supposed to be the one. And now there's this. I got to share time with this. And so he like left home. And that was that. And I think that's a stupid song.
Well, there's a song by the Black Keys that's called Lonely Boy, but I don't think that's
it. No, this is much. Who was this one by? This was in the 70s also. Let me look. Dead airspace while we both Google. Andrew Gold.
Oh. My fingers aren't on the right keys, so that's why it's taking me so long.
My fingers aren't on the right keys.
I'm a bit of a mess right now, so nothing's going to plan. Oh, yeah. This song follows the life of a child who feels neglected by his parents after the birth of his younger sister.
Yeah. Buck up. Buck up, little camper.
You're just supposed to grow up and fight with your little sister and take care of her at the same time.
Well, listen, since we're starting off digressing to a sad note, let's just dive right in here. Typically behind you when we podcast is Chloe lying on the bed, and Chloe is not with you. Would you like me to keep talking because you can't?
So today is February
22nd,
which is a Thursday, and we Chloe crossed the Rainbow Bridge on Monday the 19th, and I'm gonna cry, but it's okay.
Nobody can say Rainbow Bridge without crying because we've all been there.
The Monday before, she had a pretty rough day just with accidents. She was, she had some accidents in the house that were very unusual for her. And James had texted me and said, Joyce, I think it's time. And I mean, we obviously knew that it was coming, but it just really hit me where he was, it was, he was right. And it's, it was time. And so our vet is open 9 to 11 and then 4 to 6:30 every weekday, but Wednesday. And with our schedules, we can't really get to the vet until Thursday. And so we just, that was kind of the plan, and we were just not going to talk about it because it's too hard. And I had a really good conversation with Rachel Daw, who has been on the podcast, and she rescues dogs and just has a lot of experience. And she said that she always looks at it like she's sending them back to God, and that made me feel better. Mm-hmm. But she also said, like, you know, she's a big fan of letting them go with some dignity, you know, and that's what I wanted to do. I didn't want Chloe to like get to the point where she had like the worst day ever and we had no choice.
Right.
So we get to Thursday morning and I said, I would like to go closer to 11. I don't want to do this at 9. And so I fed the dogs and didn't give Chloe her medication because why?
Yeah.
And a little while later, we took them for a WALK.
Mm-hmm.
Cold is with me right now.
And not to interrupt your flow now, but what is that like? Now you know this is Chloe's last walk. I mean, I know what that's like.
It was really hard, but the thing was, is she looked better on Thursday than she had in a long time. Her eyes were bright. She was moving well. I mean, not like a young dog, but she was moving really well. And we went home and just, we were all teary-eyed and we couldn't do it because she was doing significantly better than she was earlier in the week. And we were just like, okay, you know what? She's got more time.
False alarm.
She did great on Friday. She did great on Saturday. Saturday was really cold. And Chloe loves the cold, but I worry a little bit because she has a heart condition, you know? But she did great. I walked them at like 7:30 at night because I had a long day. And then Sunday we woke up and she was in our bed and she just didn't want to get up. And I have this video because she was kind of, you're not going to be able to see this on the podcast, but she's kind of like this, like not totally shaking her head, but she was staring off into space in a way that she never did before.
Kind of zoned.
And so I took a video of her. I was talking to her. And then I had to go to the studio. And like, that's very normal. You know, Ashley was home. James was home. Apparently, they got her out of bed to go outside. And she was... James was... When he got to the studio for his class on Sunday, he was very concerned about her, which concerned me because it takes a lot to concern James, you know? And I said, are you staying for my slow flow class? And he goes, no, I want to go check on Chloe. And I was like, okay. So by the time he got home, and Ashley had taken Alina to a trampoline park, and I don't know who got home first, but the whole left side of Chloe's snout was swollen. It was completely, I'll send you a photo, but, and she, again, didn't want to get up. She barely ate, which is not unusual for her. She's not a big eater. She's not motivated by food at all. And so we just watched her all day and it was bad. I mean, and I have a cousin who is a vet and a cousin who is in vet school, and I sent them both videos and the photo, and it just said, do you guys have any idea what's going on here? And my cousin who's in vet school said she thought it was something dental, and that's very common for older dogs for this to just appear. Mm-hmm. But like Chloe's favorite treat is a hard treat. It's a good and fun treat. And she had no problem with it the night before at all. And I just feel like a dental thing wouldn't show up in that fast, you know? Yeah. But my cousin who's a vet, it took her a while. And by the time she responded, I noticed this. The video I had taken of Chloe on the bed earlier in the day, her left lip was quivering. And mm-hmm. I think she was having a mild seizure. And then I realized in that moment that she had been having mild seizures. Like I remember one time, and I don't even know, I'd have to listen back on a podcast, but when she was behind me while we were podcasting, she was making this weird noise with her teeth. Like her teeth were chattering in a very rhythmic way.
And, okay. So yeah, that's probably exactly what was happening.
Yeah. And it didn't, I remember listening to her and it was like, it was like she yawned and then it was like, and then she yawned and, you know, and so, and she was probably looking
shaking,
out the window.
Quaking.
Yeah. And it wasn't big, but I don't think she had dementia at all. I think that she was having seizures. And so my cousin, who is the vet, had, when she did respond, she goes, I see seizure activity. I would guess that she either has a brain tumor or has brain cancer. Mm. And, but, you know, obviously at that point I realized she was having seizures and that wasn't good. But I do think that that was what was like making her fall down the last couple of steps in the morning and was preventing her from like getting going after she laid down and whatever was going on.
Yeah.
So
they can't tell us like a human can more specifically.
Yeah. So it was Sunday. She looked so miserable. And I just wanted to take her somewhere and like to emergency vet. James didn't want to do the emergency vet because he thought that would stress her out. And I don't think it would stress her out any more than she was stressed out. And honestly, she probably wouldn't have known the difference. But I know that she would have responded to James being stressed out. And I was already stressed out, even though I think I'm pretty good when it comes to like keeping it together for the sake of the animal.
Yeah.
But, you know, so we just decided to keep her as comfortable as we could until we could get her to our vet in the morning. We got subs for our 9:30 classes. We both teach at 9:30 on Monday. And we, you know, she didn't, like we carried her outside Sunday night. Once she got on the cement, she seemed to not be able to walk like normal, but she got around. I took her out in the middle of the night, carried her out, ran back in to go to the bathroom. And by the time I got back out, she was in the grass. So, you know, she was moving a bit. And I called her back and she started walking back. So I just went and picked her up. But still on Monday morning, she didn't really want to get out of bed. I talked to Colt Sunday night and this is our other dog. And because we've noticed that he seems to have been distancing a little bit from her.
Wow.
And I told him what was going to happen in the morning and he actually slept in bed with me, with her and I like the whole night.
Wow.
And then when we took her in the morning, he was laying down and he just looked really sad and they never go for a ride separately. And he didn't even lift his head. He knew it was he knew something. I don't know what they understand as far as like, maybe we took her for a ride and she didn't come back. You know what I mean? Like, and then we have had Alina to deal with and I'll talk about that in a second. But, so we went to the vet and I went in and paid and everything. And they opened a side door for us and James had already had her out of the car. She didn't want to be picked up anymore. She didn't want to be in the car anymore. And she walked to the door very slowly. And then as soon as she got in, she walked like she was walking last week on the tile. So that was the one thing here. Like one time when I picked her up at home, I had to put her down for a second, I think in the kitchen, and she was just all four paws were sliding.
Split out like a cartoon.
Yeah. And so, but then when she got into the driveway, she, you know, wasn't
more
sliding
stable.
And she could kind of get, but yeah, she walked into the vet and was like, and it wasn't like she was, I think Chloe was ready.
Mm-hmm.
She was walking around sniffing things in the room and everything. And I mean, I just feel like she probably suffered maybe a little bit more than we had wanted her to.
Mm-hmm.
And I just didn't want her to get to the day that she had on Sunday. That's my big regret. Like it would have been so hard to do it on Thursday, but she was just so good on Thursday and Friday and Saturday. And
there goes Colt taking her place up on the bed now, looking out the window.
I know that. I know that it was the right thing, and I'm at peace with the decision for sure. It's just now it's all the adjusting to her not being here, and it's just sad, you know? Like, she was 13 and a half. I adopted her at like 6 weeks old, and there's like a void in the house and the family, and I'm worried about him.
And especially, you know, at near the end of a dog's life when they have required so much special care, she was taking more of your time and mental space than in years past. And now, you know, it's not unlike when we talked to the Ketterers after their son, Miles, passed away. Obviously very different, but from the standpoint of the time it's taking in your day and your mental capacity, now that's gone. And there's just a lot of space to fill with different thoughts and emotions. And
yeah,
I saw James that night and before my class, and he talked, you started to go down the road of Alina. He said, you know, I've got this toddler in the house that's asking why, or did you put Chloe's bowls away, et cetera. And because it's such a universal thing, we started before class, whoever was sitting there talking about it, how important and necessary and valuable it is for a child to have pets and lose pets and see how you care for pets and what your decisions are. I remember the first time I ever saw my dad cry was taking our dog Junior to sleep when I was little, which is scary and horrible, but it's better than seeing my dad cry because of something, you know, even scarier. So,
yeah.
Well, I feel that's where I learned it's okay for dads to cry and that it's okay to be sad and it's okay to put the first dog that I remember us having to put down was healthy. So, you know, my dad's tears meant even more. He had been run over by the neighbor in the driveway several years before. So my dad had to take him to the hospital in the middle of the night, surgery, everything else. But after he recovered from that, anything that moved, he bit viciously. Great Grandpa Olszewski bit him. Christine Potts next door on the other side, bit her. So trying to find a home for a vicious dog, farms or whatever, none of that panned out. And so that's what we learned there from my parents, is that how terrible and hard of a decision, but he was a safety risk to everybody. And so
that's sad.
They told us as girls, that my sisters and I, what was going to happen and that they were going to have to take him and why. And I was closest to him, I think, so I was pretty upset. But they said, we're not going to tell you when, but sometime in the next couple weeks. So one night when I had a friend over for a sleepover, I woke up in the morning. Her name was Monique, the friend, not the dog. The dog was Junior. And Monique was deathly afraid of Junior, as would anybody be besides us. So we always had to put him in the basement when we had company. So that tells you right there.
Yeah.
And she walked down. We woke up in the morning, walked down into the kitchen, and she saw the basement door open. And she said, oh, Junior. And I looked at my dad, and his eyes just filled with tears, and he started to cry. And I was like, okay, Junior's gone. And so then we talked about it, and my mom had fried him a big steak and put red lipstick on, and he was pure white, American Eskimo, and she kissed him once for everybody in the family. So he had, all these years later, this must be 50 years ago, red lipstick kisses down his snout, and my dad and the neighbor took him. So.
The neighbor who ran him over?
The neighbor whose son ran him over.
Wow.
The neighbor's son was, you know, maybe 18 or 20, drinking, right. Came home late one night. The reason we had Junior is because the neighbor, so it's, oh, I shouldn't say their names, but Lenny and Lenny Jr. Lenny, when he got divorced and moved away, gave us the dog, because I used to go knock on the door. My sisters were a little older and in school. I wasn't in school yet. So I would knock on the door and ask Sheila if Junior could come out and play. So when they divorced and were moving out of this house, leaving just their son living there, they brought Junior over and asked if we wanted Junior. And so we did, till it all went bad.
Wow. That's a very interconnected story.
Yeah. You know? And so since then, every dog or cat I've put to sleep has been at the end of their life, long, good life, health reasons, which is its own
right.
Set of circumstances. But relative to what it teaches a child, I guess, that one was really rough, but also important.
Yeah. We had been telling Alina that Chloe was going to heaven soon. And, you know,
what's the concept like for Alina of heaven?
What that is. And that she wouldn't be coming back. And
did you liken that at all to your dad? Or was she too young to even remember?
She was like a month or two old. Well, she was born on August 27th and he passed on October 2nd. So she didn't remember any of that.
It's funny how it feels different. It feels like it's more recent, like Alina was around longer.
Yeah.
It's hard to remember already a time before Alina.
Right. So we told her that morning that we were taking Chloe to heaven. And she had a moment in the morning. It just happened that Ashley, it was President's Day, and so Ashley wasn't working. And they were home, but Alina started really crying and saying, "I'm gonna miss Chloe." So she understood that she wasn't coming back, and like she just got it to a certain degree, and it was really sad. So you know, we took Chloe to the vet and everything, and she crossed the Rainbow Bridge, and we went to Panera just to
not go home,
to decompress for a minute. As much, I mean, it was obviously going to be a bad day, but we wanted
to walk over the threshold at home for sure.
Yeah, we just wanted to kind of get our bearings a little as much as we could before we went home. And James explained more that Chloe died, and everybody dies, and that's life. And you know, he was trying to put it as simply as he could for Alina's sake. And it's, you know, she said, "I'm sad," and he said, "That's okay." And you know, and then she's like, "Are you going to take Colt to heaven too?" I'm like, no, I'm not yet. Hopefully not anytime soon. I mean, Colt's got arthritis, but he's very with it. You know, he moves a little slower, or he has a window of time where he has energy and he sleeps a lot, but like he's just much more present than Chloe has been recently. And I think we have at least a year or two with Colt. And this is the other thing for me and Colt, really, like this is the first time in a long time that there hasn't been a plan to get another dog, not immediately, but fairly immediately, because as we've been saying, we'd like to move, and it just doesn't make sense.
Right.
On top of that, Colt is a 12-year-old arthritic, very social dog. And there's I feel like there's two sides of it. Like I want him to have a companion, but what kind of companion do you get? Like a young dog, he's not going to be able to keep up with, which is okay.
Right.
But then that young dog is going to have a loss in, you know,
right.
soon, which is also okay. But so and then I also tell myself, like, cause I feel like Colt's sad and lonely. And I've been telling myself, like, give him time too. Like he's adjusting as well and grieving. But there's a family in our neighborhood, and the guy, we've met him a bunch of times. He's always walking their dog, and they have an older pit bull, and he's that real like wide pit bull that walks like this, you know. His name is Buddy.
Attitude.
And Chloe, in her later years, like by the time she was 8 or 9, she didn't like female dogs, and then by the time she was probably 10 or 11, she didn't like any other dogs. And I think a lot of that lately was that she just wasn't feeling good or feeling her best.
I'm totally getting like Chloe. Yeah, I'm liking other people less and less.
And it's okay to be a grumpy old lady. You know what I mean? Like, she's allowed, but she mm-hmm. but she wasn't aggressive towards other dogs. But like, if other dogs wanted to meet her, she was like, no, yeah. not having
no.
it.
No, ma'am.
So Colt wants to meet everybody in the whole world. And so he's met Buddy, but like, Chloe's here on the left and Colt's on the right. And it's just, it's not like the easiest situation, but right. I think I'm going to, the next time I see that guy, I'm going to ask if maybe we can try some play dates. And they probably would only be 15 minutes long because it's like two old guys that
yeah,
you know, run around for a minute.
And talk. They'll talk about the weather a little bit and then be done.
I'll send you a video of Colt on his, I took him to a little park yesterday and I dropped, well, it doesn't even matter if I have him on a leash because he can't go that far, but I was playing with him and he was all riled up and then he was just like, I need a break, and he just lays down. Yeah, but, and I think that would, if that works, that would be really good for him mm-hmm. just to have some interaction and
a little something, something.
Yeah, but yeah, she did. Chloe had a great life. I mean, she was 13 and a half and we all know, you know, like you knew with peepers, like dogs, cats don't live forever and it just sucks.
I know, it just does. You just want them to live as long as we do and come with us.
Yeah. So it's a lot.
It's a lot. We'll continue to be a lot. Peepers was my first cat. I mostly had to let go of dogs. My dog Sunshine, who came after Junior, I was about maybe 22, still living at home, about to get married when we finally had to make the decision. She had had cancer too and had a surgery and came out of that great. And then at some point you start to notice they're in pain, and she too was 15. And, you know, nowadays they will offer chemotherapy and all sorts of things for dogs, but that was way back in the day, and I wouldn't have done that anyway. But I was, the sad part about that was I was sad that she wouldn't be in my wedding pictures, and she had been in my sister's wedding pictures. But
aww.
Another time where my dad popped in the room at the vet and was crying, and then he left and my mom and I stayed. So
that's so weird, because when my first dog was Sally, and was like, I was 18 when we got her.
Sally.
And my mom, she was an awesome dog, but my mom, like, she should have been put down way before she was. My mom.
Yeah, we all know people who have like blind, deaf, lame, miserable yes. dogs that they have to carry everywhere just to pee, and probably should have been
well,
set free.
The whole family was there, and obviously it was awful. But my dad left. He couldn't.
Yeah. It's like in the Steel Magnolias movie where they're like, the men can get there, but they can't really take it. They have to leave. But the moms and the, you know, we stay.
The care to, yeah. So I'll tell you.
Oh, well, it's okay. We talked about Sunshine and Sally just then. And then.
Well, I was. Go ahead.
I had another adult dog, Shady, but then Peepers, who just died 5 years ago, was the first cat I had. And I don't know if it gets weirder or you get older or what. You'll have to tell me, because you've had multiple dogs too as you get older. But I think I cried every day for a year after Peepers. Like, it took me the longest time to get over him.
I remember that, and I kept telling you, that's part of the reason I kept telling you to get another cat.
Yeah.
Because there's no replacement, but there's like...
But cats are different, because I don't think I like most cats. Like, Peepers was a little more dog-like. He greeted me at the door. He sat in my lap. I don't want some asshole cat, like a big percentage of them can be. I do love animals in general. I do love cats now. Since I found Peeper's litter, but he was my little man. And that day we had to take him, it was emergent. He had had some health problems, but then he like threw a clot, and we knew that morning he was going. And I just kissed his little, he had these little leather black paw pads, and I always would kiss his paw pads. So that's how he went out. I was kissing his paw pads and singing all his songs. Like, pepper, pepperoni, mommy loves you only.
or beautiful peepas, peep, 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 or little peepers, little one.
Did he come
but
to
I'm over
you?
Now. It's been 5 years. I'm getting better.
I feel like there's a part of ourselves that we lose with the animal, you know?
Yes, because it usually signifies a season of your life, you know, like a, it's like a bookended season of your life, right?
Right.
Like you had Chloe before you had James.
Right.
And Ashley and Alina and your dad right. was still alive. And like this whole segment of your life is like gone now.
And you're their voice, you know, and you know them the best. So I did, you know, like you had mentioned about the Ketterers, like I did think about my mom and how much caretaking she did with yes. my dad, you know, and I guess that maybe I knew Chloe was higher maintenance lately, but mm-hmm. completely worth it. I, mm-hmm. you know, she deserved that, but Chloe was not a high maintenance dog. It, you know, like Colt is a much higher maintenance dog. He's a big baby and cause he's a boy.
and, there's and that.
He's a big lover. Like he just loves everybody, but he's definitely not a full pit bull. He might have boxer in him or something. I mean, he's definitely got that blockhead, but he scares people. Like people just, they'll go out of their way to avoid him. And I'm like, you couldn't have it more wrong. Like,
yeah.
especially when I'd have him on, you know, he's always on the right. I always have my male dogs are usually bigger and stronger. Mm-hmm. And so I have them on the right and the female on the left because I don't know, that's my logic. But then they get
no,
used
it makes
to what
sense. Side. Makes sense to me.
They get used to what side they're on too. So there's some kind of order there, but people will always like, you know, even with their dogs, like, oh, go to Chloe, you know, and it's just like, yeah, Chloe's friendly to people, not so much dogs.
Yeah,
but
that
this
bitch
is the
might
one.
Bite your head off.
Yeah. Well, this is the one though, where you like that he's going to love you to death. And like we were walking the other day, this was last week, and going around the corner and, you know, there's a little dairy deli by my house and some lady was getting in her car going, oh, your dogs don't look like they play. And I was like, no, actually they're pretty nice. You know, like they're especially this one. And, she just like got in her car and closed the door and left.
Wow.
Okay.
But I learned from Jane's dog Reba, who was the big black-headed Rottweiler. Yeah. That was the sweetest little thing ever. I mean, you know, Val Holstein that comes to the studio and her husband, yeah. Ralph. In Shavasana once at Jane's, unbeknownst to us, Val was having a bad day. About what? I don't even know. We all sort of woke up, quote unquote, from Shavasana to find that Reba was like spooning Val. She was like laying on or with Val. And Val got up and was like, I mean, I don't know. She just came in and knew that I needed her today.
Aww.
And then there was a time when the guy across the street from Jane's house where we practiced, his dog had died. And Jane's boyfriend, John, Reba's dad, had to help out and dig the hole and stuff because the guy wasn't really, couldn't accomplish that. And of course, Reba like laid over the grave afterwards, like she knew.
Wow. I wish I understood. I know he knows things. Mm-hmm. Colt does, but I don't, I just
yeah,
wish
what exactly do they think?
How? Yeah. And, you know, I've heard or read or whatever that if you have more than one animal and their companions that, or even if they're, I mean, I can't imagine they wouldn't be if they live in the same house, but, and you put one down that you should take the other one with them because they know, they understand death.
Mm-hmm.
Otherwise it could be like, you took her for a ride and she never came back. Like what the heck happened?
What happened? Yeah. Confusion.
But my vet, a couple of dogs ago said that sometimes that's okay, but oftentimes when people come in to do this, they're so stressed out that it, and the animals know this, and it stresses the remaining animal out a lot, and it causes more confusion than it's worth.
And maybe more future anxiety about going to that vet.
Yeah. And that as well. So, he, you know, and he's obviously has experience with it. He said they usually figure it out and they're okay. You know, however mm-hmm. that figuring it out goes. But
yeah, nature is a little, ahead of us that way. I mean, obviously we're ahead as more intelligent beings, but there, it's just so, it is what it is.
Yeah.
To the animals. I'm having flashbacks of again, let's go back to the 1970s, a movie called Where the Red Fern Grows. And it had two dogs. I want to say they were like yellow labs or something. And that was the first time I saw my grandfather, Poppy, cry because the one, I can't even remember exactly how the one dog dies in the movie, but then the remaining dog dies of grief.
Oh, that's awful.
I know.
And I'm thinking
I can't go to a movie with a dog in it. I know that often it's an ultimate happy ending, but I can't. Like, there's enough to cry about in life. I cannot. And as for their instinct, you know, you hear this all the time that animals go somewhere to die or whatever. Peepers has been up and down all around these two houses. We're side by side duplex with my mom. He's been in every nook and cranny.
Did he visit your mom too?
Oh, sure. They were connected through the basements. Yeah, he would go. Funny story. I had four litter boxes, two on my side of the basement, two on my mom's. He would shit on her side, which I found hilarious.
That is funny.
Yeah. But no, he would come up for a treat at her house, jump on her counter. Like, he had all his spots. Never once. You know, we've talked about, we've had wet basements. So our basement is nowhere he ever hung out. Even though there were lots of good hiding places, it was always full of junk. Under the steps is always full of boxes and stuff. The last day, like you just said, with having Monday off, Peepers died on Memorial Day that year. So we were off on a Monday. Jeff was home, which is unusual. Peepers had been in bed overnight, as he always is, trotted down in the morning to eat or whatever, and then didn't come back up. And he always would come back up. So I'm like, oh, he must. I texted my mom. I'm like, Peeper's over by you. She's like, no, I haven't seen him this morning. So I went looking through both houses for like 5 minutes, calling his name. Couldn't find him. So now I'm getting concerned. Did he get shut in a closet or something? So I go one more time and I hear him. He hears me calling and he meow, a loud meow that he never did. He was underneath the basement stairs on my mom's side. Which means he had to go behind furniture, file cabinets, stuff that could have never gotten there. I moved the stuff out of the way when I heard him, and I saw that he had vomited a little bit, barely chewed up food, so he had started to eat, and he was just curled up, and I grabbed a towel, and I wrapped it around him, and I ran upstairs in my pajamas yelling, Jeff, Peepers is dying, oh my God. So I hand him to Jeff, I throw some clothes on, hold him again, and I could feel, his eyes were open, he was looking at me, but he was feeling cold and not moving, and so I knew, and we took him there, and I'm kissing his little paws, I'm kissing his beautiful little black Sydney Poitier lips, singing all his songs. And they took him back and right away said, yeah, this is called a saddle thrombus. He threw a clot. You know, he would have had to drag his back end down there. He had no use of his legs to do that. So he knew he was dying and he dragged himself somewhere. I don't know why they do that. So you won't find them. So they're protected. Like, is it instinct so that they're protected in case a predator would come? I don't know what it is, but it was very weird to realize that that's really is how it happened. He found a place he had never been in before to hide. But when he heard me calling for him, he made that valiant effort to let me know where he was. And I loved that because I wouldn't have just wanted to find him dead later.
Yeah.
So we got to kiss him and sing to him and talk to him. And he got really, he had had some health problems the winter before, some kidney stuff. And he had really finally rebounded him and back to his normal self right up until that bad day. So I was happy about that. I didn't have the daily like you did, like, is it time? Is it time? How does he feel? How does Chloe feel? So
in these last couple of weeks, we had an issue with our vacuum cleaner.
Interesting.
Vacuum. I don't know why I said vacuum cleaner. We have a Dyson similar to the Dysons that we have in both studios because, well, it's a good product, but James is in love with them. And
Janitor James. They should do a commercial with Janitor James, obviously.
It's where the we don't have it mounted on a wall. James really wants to mount. I hope he doesn't get this far. He wants to mount our Dyson on the kitchen wall. I'm like, you are not.
Oh, mounting. My goodness gracious, James. No.
Yeah. So anyhow, you just plug the charging thing in. When you mount it on the wall, there's a thing to plug it in there. And somehow something broke in the battery part and it wasn't connecting to charge. Mm-hmm. And so with two dogs in the house and a toddler, like, we have a lot of vacuuming to do.
Don't they guarantee those for life, those Dysons?
Yeah, but we just need a new battery. And it's...
Oh, okay.
Like, but James wanted to try to fix it. And you know how that goes. And so...
A fixer.
Yeah, we haven't vacuumed in a while. And I ordered a new battery the other day and it came in the next... You know, it was on Amazon. It came, I think, overnight or something. And
can I just say, I haven't vacuumed in a while and I don't have the excuse of a dead battery.
Well, Chloe's That's fur... Bad. Was so thick. You know, she's going to be with us for, I don't know how many canisters of this Dyson I'm going to fill up with, but it's just like, you know, we'll vacuum, like I need to take time to really vacuum, but we're vacuuming in bits and pieces and it's just all canisters of black fur.
Yeah.
And I'm going to miss that. I'm going to miss that as well. But on another note, or on kind of same note, moving on, I think I've mentioned this before, but back when James and I first went out of town we did one of those quick trips. It was to see the Black Crows in Atlanta a few weeks or a few years ago. And it was a 24-hour trip that I just was like, we're just doing this. And we had so much fun. And James is like, we used to travel more before we owned our own business. And we just kind of made this sort of loose promise that we'd try to go somewhere once a quarter because we hadn't been giving ourselves breaks, whether or not it was like for a long vacation or a quick vacation or something. And
change of scenery.
And yeah. And so we've been doing that for the most part, and we had talked about it earlier this year and we were just going to skip this quarter because we have Costa Rica coming up and we're going to Costa Rica a day early. So it's going to be a good 8-day trip for us. And with old dogs and everything we have going on, like it was just, we knew that was coming. And then we're going back to Red Rocks in June and like all good. And then Spirit did this sale. And I told James, or I asked him, like, do you want to go to Fort Lauderdale? We can fly there pretty cheap. It's Spirit, so I know there's like a risk of not coming back ever. But we were just like, no, we're not. It was like you have to fly on a Tuesday or Thursday. I'm like, we could do a 3-day trip, you know. And we weren't gonna. And then one night he was like, yeah, let's just go. Like,
look at the ocean for a minute.
Yeah, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday are probably the easier days to get sub. We don't teach on Thursday, and we teach less on Tuesday and Wednesday than we do most of the rest of the week. And so I bought two round trip tickets for $104.
Wow. Holy moly, it's been years since you could say that.
And so we leave at like, we're going next week. We leave at 5 something. Yeah, like something like 5:30, 5:25. I don't know. And we landed in Fort Lauderdale at 8:21.
See, that's awesome. So you you have the whole day there.
We have the whole day there, and then we get home at like. There's James.
What? Janitor James.
Itinerary?
Yeah, we're
terrorists are going to get us.
They're not leaving the house empty. They live with other people.
But we get home at like 11 on Thursday. So we literally have
11 p.m. on Thursday?
Yeah.
Oh, good.
And
I'm sure at your ages and having done a bunch of these quick trips, because I know this is true of me too, you're starting to get so good at really just packing what you need. It's not a big deal.
Right.
You don't need much.
Just taking Spirit's allowed carry-on, which is not as generous as most other flights, but whatever. Like, we're going for a couple of days somewhere warm where I can throw a couple of dresses in.
Yeah.
You know, I don't need mascara.
Yep.
Right. One pair of flip-flops. And, but so, and I got an Airbnb in Hallandale Beach, which is like kind of between Fort Lauderdale and Miami. We got like it's on the 29th floor. So it has,
nice.
You can see the canal and the ocean.
Thanks for showing me your ass, James. Appreciate it.
Sorry, I was petting my dog or my geek cat, so you can see him.
Yeah.
He did. Well, see, I mean,
at least your pants, at least James isn't like one of those guys that walks around with his ass crack hanging out. So I saw was clothing.
Maybe you'll do jujitsu in Florida.
No, I doubt it.
Maybe not. He's closing my office door. He's like, yeah, I'm out of this conversation.
He's like, why do I come in here? I told you, I love to embarrass him. So the other day he was like tagging merchandise and he happened to have a sports bra hanging on his lower arm. So of course I have to call him out on that. And then Aaron was returning or exchanging a sports bra for size. And so of course I had to grab my boobies and... and illustrate for James what she was doing. And he just looked like, where do I look? He doesn't know where to look. He looks around. He's like, why do you have to do this? Stop it.
Yeah, he doesn't handle that stuff very well, but it's okay. I mean, it's appropriate, right? We were worried though, you know, we were worried about Chloe. Colt's a little... less of a concern because this is what he does all day.
To leave town for a couple of days, you mean? Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. And also Colt, I don't know how boy dogs do this, but like he could probably not go outside for 2 days. But when he does, he will look straight at you and pee for like 10 minutes
like
straight.
A gallon. I know. I had to let my friend Steph's dogs out the other week because they were out of town. And I was like, her dog's name is Lennon, an old lab. And I'm like, my gosh, Lennon. Like, how Wenzel are you holding all of that?
Well, I read that, or I learned somewhere that when a dog is going to the bathroom, they depend on the other members of the pack to keep them safe because they're vulnerable. Right. So that's why they stare right in your eyes, especially the boys. It's like they lift their leg and they're just like right in your eyes.
Yeah. Don't you move. I'm going to pee right now.
So I tell
them, come any closer.
Safe. I've got you. I've got you. You're good. Yeah. But yeah, he'll be fine. And, but we were a little worried about Chloe and I kept telling myself she'll be okay. Like even if she uses her pee pads, like that's the worst that can happen. But now I'm glad that there isn't a risk of what happened on Sunday happening when we're not here.
Right. And relative to all that, what we're learning is you have to have a little bit of que sera sera in your mind. Like what will be, you still have to try and live your life. So it's, you know, you're grateful when it works out this way.
Yeah.
Where she's already gone. And now you're really are going to enjoy yourself and relax in Fort Lauderdale in a better way than you would have been able to.
Yeah. So hopefully we'll get back. Cause I feel like that's where Spirit really screws up, is getting you home. And we're like on the last flight home. So like getting there again, actually, this is the same flight we took to connect when we went to Mexico. Mm-hmm. But we won't have to worry about we're not going to check a bag, obviously. And then James's TSA number did arrive after we got back from Mexico. So we'll be able to pre-check and just, you know, we leave on a Tuesday, which is supposed to be not a, you know, one of the, not a busy travel day or one of the least busy. So that makes me a little nervous because James knows all this. And so that means if our flight leaves at 5:25, that we should probably leave the house by what, 5?
I know. We're going to have this, we're going to revisit this conversation because it's probably going to go the same way. It'll be a little stressful. When we went at the end of last month to visit my mother-in-law in Florida, we had a flight cancel. We had a connection that canceled. So we had to rebook. We still got there at the same time, but our luggage was on flight number one that was canceled. So it was coming later in the day. And my mother-in-law is close to an hour from the airport. So it's not like, oh, we'll just come back for our luggage. So Jeff and I just went to have a nice long, you know, waterside kind of lunch outdoors, which, you know, when it's the end of January in Cleveland, you're just thrilled to be sitting outside having a margarita or whatever. So we did that and went back and got our luggage. But that was a golf trip for him. So we always do have checked luggage instead of just carry on. And I've gotten to be expert at, Jeff calls it my travel uniform. I have like light linen pants that are at least pants. So I don't know how some of these people have shorts and sports bras on an airplane. It is so freaking cold to me on an airplane. So I usually have my linen pants, some sort of comfortable shoe, little sneaker that could be summertime or wintertime, Ohio or Florida, and then a tank top, just a black tank top. And then this sweater, this giant cardigan, which actually seems like just a blanket that I bought at Target years ago, that the reason I think it was on the Target clearance rack is because it's a size small and you could fit three of me in it. So it's another one of those missized things. And then a scarf, which keeps you warm. And then you shed the scarf and the cardigan, and there you are in a nice light outfit to sit outside and drink when you get to Florida.
I'm so with you back on that point of the plane being cold. Because James was, when we were going to Mexico, I was like, what do you wear? Because it's so awful when you get out in 90 degree weather and
so hot. Like, yeah, you got a layer.
Yeah. And I'm like, he goes, just wear shorts and your flip flops. Like, the walk from the car to the airport isn't bad. I'm like, it's not that. I don't want to freeze for 3 hours on the plane.
On the airplane. Yep.
You know? And, like I was thinking about Fort Lauderdale, I was thinking actually about wearing a summer dress with like leggings underneath or something.
Seriously, I've done that too. And then you can just immediately dive into your vacation. You don't have to go check in somewhere. You don't have to unpack anything. You just get in your rental car and hit the beach.
We have to because we have an Airbnb and we're not going to be able to check in at 9, even if they let us check in early. Like that's very early. So we might drive to like the Keys or something and we have to fill our day, which is fine. Like I don't see James and I sitting on the beach all day. Mm-hmm. But what's kind of irritating to me a little bit is that, let's see, next week here in Cleveland, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday is going to be 64, 62, and 48. Like I want it to be 15 so that, you know, I could, but James is like, really, Joyce, that's not like 80 degrees in Fort Lauderdale. That's just not the same. I'm like, I know.
But yeah, I keep saying that when we left for Florida, it was like 60 here. I keep saying that I know climate change is a terrible thing, but as a Clevelander who hates winter, I can't complain about it when it's happening.
I mean, it does feel good, but it just can't be good for...
No, exactly. It can't be good.
It's. So, I don't know. Is 76, 79, and 79 too cold to go in the water?
I don't know. I'm trying to think. When I was in Florida, I walked... While Patty and Jeff golfed, I drove to, I want to say, Jensen Beach, which is... on the West Palm Beach side of the state. And there were people in the water, mm-hmm. not a ton, but I walked through the water and I wasn't like, oh, it's so cold, I might die. So I don't know, it might be okay.
Let me see, I just Googled it. So it's 75 degrees hot in Florida. I typed in 80, but for most people, such a temperature range would be interpreted as hot. In Florida during July and August, it's between 73 and 95. I don't know. Well, I guess we'll see. It's definitely shorts. It's not like we spend a lot of time swimming.
Yeah. It's just the ocean and the beach are in the sky and the sound and the gulls and the salt. And it's just all very healing, even if you're not a quote unquote beach person.
So I want to talk about Airbnbs a little bit. Like we like to do Airbnbs because specifically because of the kitchen. Mm-hmm. So we don't have to eat out every single time that we eat, which just can be too much sometimes, you know?
It's expensive. It's time consuming. You eat the wrong stuff. It's nice to have a nice dinner out, but in general, it's nicer not to.
So Airbnbs are so confusing anymore. And maybe it's just where I was trying to get one. So you give yourself a budget. Like, there's only two of us. We're going to be there for a couple of days. So I was like thinking $150 to $200 a night. And so you can put in the range or whatever. And there's, so we're staying in Hallandale Beach. There's Fort Lauderdale, Hallandale Beach, and then Miami. And I read, and it makes sense that Miami is like 24-hour party, which we don't need a 24-hour party.
Mm-hmm.
Fort Lauderdale is definitely more family friendly. And Hallandale Beach is really nice. It's kind of like kind of the in between. Sorry about that. And it seems like in Fort Lauderdale, there's more hotels versus like buildings that will do apartment buildings where a lot of people Airbnb. And so in Hallandale Beach, you have a lot of the apartment buildings that do Airbnb. So they list, as you know, your nightly fee, the cleaning fee, and then the Airbnb service fee. So they give you a total
fees.
Yeah. So like I'm pulling up I made a list of potential, I mean, I've already booked ours, but like I'm looking at some of the things, other ones that I looked at. And so $184 a night, one bedroom, three beds, one and a half bath rental unit in Hollywood, Florida would end up costing $557 plus tax and before mm-hmm. taxes. So there's never just one tax, right?
Right.
So this $184 a night unit is not $184
right.
a night. Okay, got that. But then you have to read that in the about this space, beautiful ocean view apartment with direct access to the beach, blah, 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 has a gym, swimming pool, beach access, affordable valet, only $10 unlimited access, $30 resort fee per reservation, per person, per day.
Wow. So there's $60 a day for each of you, a resort fee.
Plus $10 a day to park.
Okay. So there's 70 added to your night. Yeah.
And then I don't know if this one has it, but most of the places that have a pool will also charge for your chair and your towel every day. And that's a good $30.
Mm-hmm.
So now your $184 night room is more like $350, $400.
Yeah. Good thing you're not going out to dinner.
Right. James just texted me and said, just a suggestion, maybe talk more about yoga.
Oh, you know, F off, James. Just a suggestion. There's it's a restaurant called Aruba, and I believe it's in a little town called Lauderdale by the Sea.
By the Sea, yeah.
Yeah.
Spot. I've read a lot about Lauderdale by the Sea there. It was really nice. But I wanted, he'll be mad at me for telling the story, but I was looking at like things to do in Fort Lauderdale, and an airboat tour of the Everglades is like one of the top things. And it takes a while, you know, that would be a good way to spend
a few hours
until we can check in. And he was like, nope, that's a swamp. Don't want to do it.
I was going to say gators.
I think it would be really fun. But then James told a story later, just on Sunday, actually, because Dave Hoffman was talking about how much fun that is. And I guess when James was in the Army, they had to spend like 5 days in the swamps of Georgia. And he said it was freaking miserable. So anytime he thinks swamps, he's like, nope, been there, done that.
Swamp ass.
An airboat tour isn't like the Army.
Right. Just, they're not going to make you like get down there in the swamp.
Yeah.
So we'll
bring it back to yoga. We're going to do some yoga while we're down there.
There you go. See, this was all about yoga.
Yes. And actually we do plan on working. We have been wanting to work on specific things that always get backburnered because of all the daily things that happen. And
that's the thing. You're away from the daily deets. And so you can spend time working on different curriculum or a different idea or whatever the case may be.
Yeah. And I feel like where we're at too, like it literally is just the beach. That's the attraction. And we can sit on our balcony and get some work done and feel good about it and still enjoy the healingness of just being out of our routine. And I'm kind of excited about that because I feel like sometimes when you get one out of your routine, but in a new space, you just tend to, the creative juices are flowing, maybe a little bit easier.
Yeah. It's different perspective.
Yeah. So that'll be done in a heartbeat, you know, like we'll be back before we know, which is fine. Cause then we have Costa Rica to look forward to. And then we are so looking forward to Costa Rica. Like we have such a great group going and we have been doing a lot of planning on that. That'll be a really nice trip. And then after that, we're going to, back to Red Rocks to see Trevor Hall play with the Colorado Symphony, I know it's been a while since I saw Trevor Hall. I'm going through a little withdrawal.
I was just going to say, we should play these podcasts as a drinking game. And every time Trevor Hall's name comes up, somebody takes a shot. But that wouldn't have happened till right now in this episode.
Oh, right now, yeah. So we never got back to... what am I trying to say? Like, close the loop on the somatic yoga conversation we had where I said that there was a bra and underwear company and I bought us bras.
Yeah. One day I got a text from Joyce saying, I'm leaving something on your porch. And so I go outside and there's a little bag. I'm like, what could this be?
I told you.
What you don't think? Yes. It's a bra. It's not, I'm feeling myself. It's not the one I have on today, but, I'm a fan. I thank you for that Soma bra.
You're welcome. I'm a fan too. We have matching bras. I bought an extra one for myself and I'm pretty happy with the purchase. Although I did buy those on, they were having their semi-annual clearance sale.
So it's not as expensive as I thought. And now I'm on their text demon. Text all the time with their
specials. They text and email so much.
Everybody does now.
But yeah, I think I paid less than $25 and their bras are usually like what, $65 or something.
It's a good bra. Some of us, it's more important how good the bra is than others. I mean, yours could be purely decorative, honestly, for the little apples. But for the honeydews, we need to have some good support. And that is good and comfortable.
Very comfortable. So shout out to Soma.
Shout out to Soma. The only thing I don't love is the sort of lacy part. If I'm wearing like a fuzzy fleecy thing, it collects some, but you know, it happens. I prefer a smooth bra because my jugs are out there, but that's okay. That's much of that is smooth.
Well,
we're going over the line here, aren't we? The part where James just starts shaking his head if he's still listening and just wants
it to
be
over.
There's
no way he got this far. There's no way. So what's your, we've been talking so much about your new home and you're not back and forth as much as you were for a while there. I thought that's like, I mean, your home is beautiful. I figured she's going to make every excuse, you know, like,
yeah,
you guys are
are. Well, it's right now is tax season and Jeff has a tax practice. So like last week when we were there, it was going to just be my mom and I, but he had FOMO. So he came with, so that changed the schedule a bit. And then actually our Charlotte kids met us unexpectedly. So that was fun. So, I have a refrigerator still that has to come, so I'll be going whenever they tell me that's ready. So it will be back and forth a bit here in March and April, and then probably maybe like several weeks at a time, which has given me a little bit of hives, just because that feels like a long time. But there's like a music festival that we go to down there, and we'll be babysitting a dog down there for the Charlotte kids while they're out of town. So we're probably going to have a few weeks down there in April.
Dog's going to love it.
So there is not really a plan. just sort of like back and forth. And Jeff's, I'm not great at that. Like I like to, which is weird because I'm not a planner or anything, but I like to sort of know. And Jeff will just be like, suddenly like, let's, like he did with Thanksgiving, like, let's go the day after Thanksgiving. And I'm like, wait, what? No, we're having Thanksgiving. What are you talking about? But then with a little time, I did get on board. So, but it's easy now because we don't have to pack.
Right.
There's clothes there. There's toiletries there. Everything's there. Get in the car and go.
Did you take your mom down?
I'm sorry?
You took your mom down, didn't you?
Yeah, my mom came down last Wednesday to Sunday.
What'd she think?
You know, I haven't had a chance to talk to her much since after the fact. I mean, I think she liked it. Who would say they didn't like it? I think more than a few days there, she'll be bored to death because like we do a lot of walking and hiking, which isn't really in her wheelhouse these days at 84 with artificial hips and knees and stuff. But yeah. we did some shopping in Wilkesboro.
Did you take her to the Walmart?
We did not go to the Walmart. We went to a restaurant we like there called Dooley's, named after a local legend, Tom Dooley, put to death for killing Laura Foster back in the 1800s. It's fun. So, yeah. So, but then I got a little bit of a cold and so I didn't want to breathe in my mother's face and talk to her, but hopefully she had a good time and I'm looking forward to getting my sisters and friends and you and anybody who can come down to come on down.
Are you like?
Like the beach, the mountains provide a different perspective and a different mindset, good scenery. There's horses and streams and it just feels clean and wonderful and remote.
Are you now like, oh, my other house?
I don't know. I'm like, I can't really say that. I usually say like, we go to a cabin in North Carolina is how I usually refer to it.
Oh, that'll change,
I guess.
But maybe that's a good perspective to have. Like it's because you're not there all the time. Like it's like, yeah,
it's definitely a getaway and we still love it. And just this last trip, last weekend, we put a Ring cam on the door, which was great because a Pella window guy came this week to fix something and he didn't have the code to get in. So I had to say like,
hello, I see you.
And he's like, oh, he was on the phone trying to call somebody for a code. And I said, I see you. I'm talking to you from Cleveland, but here's the code. Do you know, well, I had to just stop myself from actually repeating the code.
Giving it out to the whole international podcast audience.
Right. Yeah, we would have to. Yeah, everybody just go like on. I gave up, out
our whole itinerary, if anybody cares, that we're going to Fort Lauderdale.
Well, it did just happen. Somebody I know did post that they went to Florida and on like day three, they got called back because, and they don't know if it might have been like a taxi driver. They took a taxi because they left on Super Bowl Sunday. So they usually would have a friend drive them to the airport or an Uber, but it was such a weird night that they just called a taxi and then their doors were like kicked in, broken. They had a security system. So pretty quickly alarms went off and police were coming. So the people got the hell out of there without stealing much, but.
Well, and by the time this podcast will probably be released while we're in Florida.
Yeah. That's right. If you're going next week or even afterwards. So sorry, yeah. You missed your chance to rob Joyce's house.
Well, it's not like the house will be empty either. And we have this badass arthritic pit bull that will scare the shit out of anybody.
Pit bull, but that people are scared of nonetheless.
I mean, he would probably find a little bit more energy if somebody tried to break in.
Adrenaline. Yeah. And he just broke a window last year, right?
Two.
Yeah. Two. So he's still got it.
Happens when you have a big fat head. He has a wart right on the top of his head.
Oh,
he gets warts. Like
old dogs just get lumpy and warty and weird,
but they fall off. Like they don't last forever, but this one's really weird. Cause you go to pet him and you're just like, there it is.
There's your wart.
I asked the vet if Compound W would hurt him and he goes, no, but warts don't usually bother dogs. So
yeah, it's bothering okay to you just, more than it's bothering him.
Yeah. That's kind of what the vet said with his eyes. Like, don't, yeah. Really?
Yeah. Crazy woman.
I bought some, it's on the table.
I'm remembering, taking, just to interject back where we were minutes and minutes ago, I went with my sister Judy years ago to have her dog Rex put down as well. My mom and I did. And so I've been to very many different vets doing this, as I'm sure you may have too. And this vet brought in, they bring in like peanut butter if you want to like give your dog some peanut butter as a treat before they, you know, give him the shot, which was really sweet because Rex really loved and appreciated that. And then another vet I went to with a friend, they have a candle that if it's lit, everybody in the lobby knows to maybe
I think you said that.
Chill out and be a little calm. Somebody's crossing the Rainbow Bridge right now and some people might come out and be upset. Most places manage to bring you the little bill on a clipboard, though, despite your grief.
My vet's pretty good about that. When I went in, my vet doesn't take appointments, but I did call and say, like, I'm coming in to do this. And they have, it's a small building and they have, it's Cloverleaf Animal Hospital, which I highly recommend. That they're just so nice. And they've been my only vet, you know, ever since Sally. And they have two rooms and one of the rooms has a side door, but I've been there obviously lots of times over the last, I don't know, 30, 40 years. And, I've been there when people come in to accompany their pets on the Rainbow Bridge. And it's upsetting, not in like a way where people get mad, but like anybody there with a pet for like their annual appointment, you know, it's just hard. And I don't, and it's also very hard for the people that are coming in to do it. It's kind of like, I am here to, you know, my dog. And, and so that's why I called first. And I also, cause I wanted to let them know I needed that room, you know, and I didn't want to come into the front door when anyone bring him, her into the front door and everything. But I just, when I went, you know, she's like, what do you want to do with the, do you want a cremation? You know, the whole thing. And then after I gave her all my answers, she was like, do you just want to pay for this when you pick up the ashes? And I was like, no, let me just do it now, you know, but they're really good about like, I think they understand this isn't the top of the mind paying for it right now. Like, but I do also kind of feel like if you get the bill later, it's just another, like, yeah, they're gone. Now you, you know?
Yeah.
So,
but they have in the heart.
There's no right way to, you know, like right way to do that, I guess.
And the hard thing about being in the lobby or the waiting area then at the vet when you're just there with your dog, not a Rainbow Bridge situation, especially the older we get, like, you know, even when you have a puppy at our age versus when you're 20, it feels like a long time. At our age, you're like, shit, I might have 12 years with this beloved thing. And that doesn't feel like very long at all anymore because we've seen, look, the studio's been open 8 years this year, right?
I know.
So look at how fast, in the blink of an eye, this could be a pet's lifetime. And so it's just a reminder to everybody. It's like, oh, one of these days, that's what we're going to be here for.
Yeah.
I wish they had longer lifespans and larger chunks of our life. They're too, it's too soon.
Way too soon. Yeah, so it's nice to see you on the screen again. I feel like I haven't seen you in person in
a minute. Yeah,
in a hot minute.
And I'm sorry, I sound a little. There have been a number of podcast recordings where I've been sick this last couple of years, and I'm not sick very often.
That might have to do with the change in the weather.
Yes,
we get all four. We've gotten all four seasons a couple of times in February.
Yeah, like in the same week for sure. Today's rainy and warm though. I don't know how warm it is.
Well, I'll tell you. I mean, it's not
45. 45 in light rain, my computer says.
I'm still in Fort Lauderdale. It says 66. Yeah, 44 over here. And nope. 43 in Seven Hills.
Here's a fun fact. My Uncle Jack, the late Uncle Jack, he died right after my dad. And didn't see him much over my lifetime, but before I was born, was the police chief of Seven Hills.
Oh yeah,
Jack Harrell. Yep. And now you know.
I'm gonna look him up later.
Yeah.
Yeah. I don't need to Google right now. So apparently this is the season four ending podcast. According
all
to
right, so engineers. We ended on a grief note. We ended the way some seasons start. Grief. Part of life.
Yeah. Yeah. So apparently we're gonna regroup and think about yoga topics.
Mm-hmm. Because James recommends that we get back to yoga, which is probably true. It is the modern yoga podcast.
And really what happened with the shift of direction was that we opened Brecksville.
Right.
And the little bit of time that I had to plan isn't there as much as it was. Maybe I'll plan our whole podcasting season while I'm in Fort Lauderdale. And you
that's
built
a good
house.
Idea. Because I'm a poor planner, so I'm not going to plan.
Well, and you've been really, really busy too. And I think that, you know, so we have this podcast of talking to each other. And that's not
bad
either.
Works for me, man.
I think we're pretty interesting.
Clearly.
Yeah. Hello. I mean, look at all the topics we cover just in one podcast.
It'll make your head spin.
It'll totally make your head spin. So we'll look forward to season 5.
Whoop, whoop.
And big changes coming your way.
We say that every time, but for real.
For real. So
happy wrap up to season 4, Joyce. It's been a pleasure.
Yes. We don't have to go through our list of guests because we had none.
That's what we can do, right? Bring guests back.
We can bring guests back. Remember we used to do this in person with, I think the last
blankets on the table.
Danielle or Dave Hoffman. The thing is Danielle, but Dave Hoffman was one of the most recent ones.
Yeah, one of the last ones in Brecksville, yeah. We should do that again sometimes for fun. Jen Erdelak, the Ketterers, Rachel Daw.
Yes, I would love to. All right,
we're done.